And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. You're blessed. So congratulations to you.
Yes, we are. Thank you very much. It was worth staying up all night long watching that game just because I knew I was talking to you today. That's how it all worked out.
Burst of energy right now.
Yeah, it really is.
It's better than coffee.
You know what I am? I'm Red Bull on the phone.
That's right. That's right. So Corey, Preds dropped game one last night. They lose 4-2 in a game where they were leading heading into the third period.
The series is over.
Did he? Predators fans should feel pretty good then.
The winner of game one wins the series, it's over.
He did say that on Twitter. I saw that. What did you make of the game last night for the Preds? And obviously a disappointing result, but overall, what did you make of the way they played?
Man, I thought they were just trying to survive watching the way Vancouver came out. I mean, they hit anything that moved. I mean, it was like a firing line out there. Vancouver was ready. There's no doubt about it, and they're a very talented team. I think that was going to be a tough game for a lot of teams to win. And I think the Preds stood in there largely and fought back. And so I was encouraged by about a lot of that. You can't have a lapse like you had in that 12 seconds against a team that's that good in a game that's that tight. I mean, so hopefully you chalk that up to a learning experience. And we know what we know with this team. They play a system. They're not as talented as everybody else out there, but they have a goalie, and they need the goalie to be awesome. And he wasn't awesome last night. He was good, but he wasn't awesome.
Yeah, well, I agree. You can't let in the one goal he let in, that first goal for sure. You got to be better than that. And Forsberg, Corey, is a guy, if you want to, pick on someone. Carrier made a big mistake, but Philip Forsberg, what did you see from him last night?
Well, not enough, right? I mean, he's got to do more. I mean, when you score 48 goals during the season, and you're the alpha carrying the puck, look, the Canucks know that. I mean, the Canucks know that. So, if you're the Canucks, who has your attention on the ice at all times? Number 9. All right. So he can be Jamie Tartt. All right, and say, don't play to me, play through me. Or he can just bowl his way through it and get the puck in the net. I mean, playoff time, goals are tougher to come by. It takes more work. This team's not afraid to work. And, he's just going to have to ramp it up a little bit more.
So, Corey, the Predators have never won a series when they lost game one, which was pointed out a lot.
Oh, my God, the series is over. Stillman was right.
It is. It's all over at this point. So, I mean, look, obviously we know game one's important. I think the winner wins 68% of the time. But, to me, it's part of what makes the playoffs so great is you live and die with every result. And if they win in game two, they've still done what they needed to do, and that is go up there and split with Vancouver.
You're absolutely right. And what do they say? It's not a series until somebody wins on the road.
That's right.
So you still have that opportunity. And if you hold serve at home, you would have that opportunity again in game five. You wait and you see. Look, they're an underdog in this series, okay? If they don't win, it's not a surprise, and it doesn't necessarily mean they play poorly. They're playing a very good team that has home ice. So it's not over, but, I mean, look, if they win, they're going to have to win 4 out of 6 now against the number one team in the Pacific. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have to play great. They're going to have to play better than they played in game one. So level your expectation is, I guess, what I would say.
I love that phrase, that saying, people that say that. I mean, I've watched some amazing 7-game series where the home teams won every game. But, I mean, it's a good phrase. You know what's weird about that? What was it, Robbie? 14-0? NBA and NHL teams are
14-0.
All
14-0.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Corey? That's weird, especially the NHL, but really all together.
Because we've seen lately that home road hasn't meant that much over the recent years. I mean, teams have tended to get on the road, and there's less distraction and there's more focus. And so they've performed largely, better. But maybe what it says in both leagues is that the teams that have earned home ice and home court are that much better than the teams beneath them.
Yeah, interesting point there. Corey, we've finally made it to draft week here. We've gone
through every possible
scenario here that the Titans could have ever come up with, and we're finally going to come up with an answer on Thursday. What is the scenario in the first round Thursday that is conceivable to you where you would be disappointed in the result if you're the Titans? Is there a scenario where you would be disappointed in the result that's realistic to you?
I think if they overshot with their pick at 7 on a player not worthy of the pick, say Alt and Neighbors and Odunze are all off the board by the time they pick, and they settle. You know, they settle for Fashano or the kid from Oregon State. You know that would be disappointing to me. Look, that's possible. It's possible that, you know, the Chargers go Alt and, I guess it would be tough for Odunze and Neighbors both to be off the board. But stranger things have happened. So that would be disappointing if they settled on a pick and didn't get what's viewed as an elite player. I want them to get more picks too, but I also want to see elite players on this team. I think if Neighbors or Alt were there and they traded down, and I think just in general, I'm not for trading down unless they still you can get what they view as an elite player. Like if they went way down, if they went past like 15, I would just be like, oosh.
Yeah.
We'll see, but I'm all in on the Golden Domer. I mean, I've thought about it like everybody else. And last week I settled in and I said, this is too simple. Just Google him on YouTube, watch the tape and just settle in and say, okay, yeah, this is what the Titans need. You could settle the left side of your line for a decade. Your quarterback could actually throw the ball and survive to the receivers that you've got. And there are a lot of talented receivers, maybe not elite, but you can go get other guys who can help you, and you've already got two pretty good ones. So if you want to win now, if you want to be competitive now, to me, that's what you do. If you say, hey, we're going to get this guy for the future and we're going to let our quarterback get killed for another year or put it on him to get rid of the football, then that's fine. That's what you're going to do.
So Neighbors is there? No hesitation? Not one little pause, little
glance? Well, I don't think there's a hesitation for them. I think they would jump on Neighbors if he's the one that's there.
Would take Neighbors over Alt if Neighbors is there?
I think it's possible, but not likely. Go back to what Callahan said when he was talking about the Ja'Marr Chase situation. He said we were in a different point there than this team is now. And he's also said free agency is for filling needs, the draft is for building your foundation, and left tackle is one of the very foundational pieces of a football team. And so it's really overly simple to me that this is the pick.
Well, thank God we're getting ready to find out coming up on Thursday. We've been talking about it for what feels like 6 months at this point. So looking forward to it.
I have contended that this year the hype around this pick for the Titans is the most that I can remember in a really long time.
I think it's the most like there's a one clear answer. And I don't remember that being. I mean, I know that there's other names, but there's one real obvious answer, and there hasn't been
that
in recent drafts.
Yeah,
which I think kind of makes it more boring, doesn't it?
Yes.
But you've got the Brock Bowers faction out there.
That's true.
And then there are some people who want the receiver. And look, I get it. Having a good receiver is awesome. Watching what A.J. Brown did here after watching this team for 20 years was amazing. To have somebody who could go in the secondary and make plays. Being a Chicago Bears fan, watching what D.J. Moore did last year, was like, oh, my God. I mean, someone can actually catch a pass and make a play? I didn't know this was possible. I thought we just handed the ball off 38 times a game.
Yeah.
And so, believe me, I understand the power of the wide receiver. You just paid Calvin Ridley a ton of money. And you've got DeAndre Hopkins. And you've got Treylon Burks, who you hope you can get something from this year. I know people don't want to hear that, but I still think he has talent if he can stay on the field. I'd like to see what he can do. So we will wait, and we will see. And like, if they draft Neighbors, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's a horrible pick. Because what do I always say, guys? You don't get bad by adding good football players.
Oh, yeah.
But there are certain spots that have to be filled, and one of them keeps your quarterback alive.
Corey, this time next week, we'll be breaking it all down with the Tennessee Titans and what they've done in the draft. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. But I want to remind everybody, you can see the draft on News 2.
You can.
All seven rounds.
That is right. You definitely can.
Well done.
Well done. Corey, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye.